We turn next to item K, that is court facilities, budget allocations for statewide trial court facility modifications and planning in fiscal year 13-14. This is an action item. Welcome, Judge Power,
good morning.
The chair. And would you introduce staff
to the trial court facility modification advisory committee is Patrick McGrath, who will be presenting this morning. And good morning to the members of the Judicial Council. Thank you for allowing me to comment on item K, the 13-14 budget allocation for trial court facility modifications. On Sunday, October 13, 2013, the Chief Justice came to speak at the California Judges Association annual conference. The Chief talked about her vision for the branch, which she calls Access 3D. Access should be equal, physical, and remote. I believe the work of the Trial Court Facility Modification Advisory Committee absolutely fits into the Chief's vision because our committee's main focus is making sure that our physical infrastructure is safe, secure, well-maintained, and accessible. I know that Chief Administrative Officer Kurt Soderlund has asked his staff to assess the cost of making all our buildings accessible to all, so our committee should be reviewing the report in the near future. And I greatly appreciate Kurt's efforts to support the work of the advisory committee. The advisory committee consists of 5 judges and 4 executive officers. Small, medium, and large courts are represented, and the group is geographically diverse. Ms. Linda Romero Solis, CEO of Merced Superior Court, Ms. Christina Volkers, CEO of the Sacramento Superior Court, and Ms. Janine Tucker, CEO of the Tuolumne Superior Court, are recent additions to the membership of the advisory committee. We currently have 1 CEO vacancy, which should be filled shortly. The advisory committee meets regularly to keep up with pending requests for facility modifications. We have 4 in-person meetings and 4 telephone conference meetings annually. The key objective of the advisory committee is to provide ongoing oversight of judicial branch program that manages renovations, facility operations, and maintenance consistent with the charge approved for the working group that preceded this advisory committee and the trial court facility modifications policy adopted by the council on July 27, 2012. The core function of the advisory committee is to review, prioritize, and fund facility modification projects for the court facilities statewide, subject to the reporting of our ranking and funding decisions to the E&P committee and the council. In fiscal year 12-13, the advisory committee reviewed, approved, and funded over 1,200 facility modifications. The advisory committee is also the point of contact if there is a concern from a branch court regarding a facility modification. We review appeals from the branch courts regarding staff ranking or funding decisions, and the working environment of the individual trial judges is of concern to us. The advisory committee is also concerned with energy conservation. This year, the committee funded 8 projects dedicated to energy conservation. I'm informed that for the $500,000 that these projects cost, we anticipate a $160,000 savings per year in energy costs. This appears to be a wise investment in facility modification funds. Can we have the next slide, Patrick? Thank you. A facility modification is a physical modification to a facility or its components that restores or improves the design level of function of a facility or facility components. It includes an alteration, renovation, or rehabilitation of a facility. It excludes facility expansion. Routine maintenance is the routine, recurring, and generally anticipated work that must be performed periodically throughout the life of a facility. And examples are elevator maintenance, code compliance inspections, fire life safety inspections, and air conditioning filters. The industry standard for changing of air conditioning filters is 6 months. We change ours yearly or when they fail because of budget constraints. The key concerns for the and I forgot the next slide, please. The key concerns of the advisory committee center on funding. There is not enough money for funding facility modifications or routine maintenance to prevent the continued deterioration of our court facilities. More facility systems will run to failure and qualify for P1 emergency funding. The advisory committee has been tasked with oversight responsibility for operations and maintenance. O&M includes maintenance, real estate leases, insurance, and utilities. Fundamentally, we have identified that a lack of program funding impacts all of the areas, and continued rate increases with utilities will continue to negatively impact our ability to fund routine maintenance work. A lack of routine maintenance results in increased demand for facility modifications. Costs are increasing to service new larger buildings online for completion, and there's a continuing need to maintain the buildings taken off the SB 1407 replacement list. The current condition of many of our courthouses is still below standards due to the condition of the facilities at the time of the transfer and the marginal funding since that time. Many of our courthouses have building systems or components that are unreliable. Common complaint areas include roofing, HVAC, and plumbing. Patrick McGrath will now walk us through the slides on the funding shortfall graph, the 13-14 budget allocations, and some specific examples of the projects that are on hold due to the inability to fund planned facility modifications. Patrick.
Thank you, Judge Power. In looking at the maintenance and rehab funding shortfall, the key areas to focus on are the areas in green. These are the funds that are currently available to fund these particular functions. At the very bottom is the lighter green color, and that is the court facilities payment that is made to the AOC for the purposes of maintaining the routine maintenance, filter changes, fire life safety system inspections. As you can see, that number is a fairly stable number through this fiscal year. The routine maintenance components include the court facilities payment pays for utilities, routine maintenance, leases, as well as insurance. The $40 million that we're talking about here for fiscal year FY13-14 is specific to routine maintenance. Added to that, we have the higher green bar of $50 million for facility modifications. From an industry standards standpoint, that leaves us with a significant shortfall. In looking at the first red bar, that is a $28 million shortfall that compares our routine maintenance funding to what an industry standard would be using the Building Owners and Management Association national standard for facility or routine maintenance funding for fiscal year 11-12. We're $28 million short between what we should have or what we have and what we would have if we were funded at an industry standard level. As well as within the facility modification realm, within the industry there is a routine metric of anywhere from 2 to 4% for capital reinvestment in the existing infrastructure. Our current budget of $50 million, in order to reach that industry standard reinvestment value, should have been an additional $28 million. So for this next fiscal year, we're something in the neighborhood of $56 million short of where we would be in an industry standard model. That does not address the shortfall or the backlog of work that was left to us as part of the transfer. That's the top yellow bar. And as you can see over time, that yellow bar continues to grow. It continues to grow because our funding is not keeping up with age, and we do not have the capacity to address those shortfalls. In this next fiscal year, as the council is aware, there are several BCPs that the committee and the AOC have put forward to go to the DOF that, if they are approved, will significantly change our funding picture and our ability to at least keep our ground. If the BCPs are approved, we'll have something in the neighborhood of $71 million for routine maintenance and something in the neighborhood of $77 million for facility modifications. So hopefully those BCPs are approved. But at this meeting, we're here to talk about this particular year. We're here to propose a total allocation for each of the allocation levels of $50 million for statewide planning, an allocation of $4 million, for Priority 1 emergencies, an allocation of $7 million, and no allocation for planned priority 2 through 6 projects, and then the balance of the funding is allocated to unplanned priority 2 through priority 6 projects for this next year. The expectation of the committee is that the bulk of that $39 million will be allocated to or limited to priority 2 critical and emergency type work. This proposal provides for some adjustments to last year. Last year, this proposal represents a $2 million increase for emergencies. As the facilities continue to age, we are seeing an increase in system failure. And in order to prepare and plan for that, we have allocated an additional $2 million up front at the beginning of the year based on our statistics from last fiscal year. This $2 million came directly out of the funding for unplanned priority 2 through 6 projects. We recognize that we are triage and firefighting in this particular system and program, and at this point there will continue to have systems that are running to fail. This last year, the committee and the AOC submitted a BCP for $18 million for additional FM funding, which was rejected by the DOF. The impact is we had planned $18 million worth of work for priority 3 types of work. That impacts 16 different courts and 25 different facilities across the state. It was for priority 3 work. The costs of the projects ranged anywhere from $100,000 to $2.9 million. As stated previously, the condition of our facilities continues to be impacted by lack of funding. Some of the projects that are currently on hold is a Mendocino County project to renovate some fan coil units for $100,000. Fresno County Courthouse renovating elevators in their facilities for $1.2 million. Gordon Shaver modernization of the HVAC equipment for $1.3 million. Wiley Manuel Courthouse with an elevator renovation project for 41-year-old elevators for $2.9 million. Santa Cruz Main Courthouse renovating their HVAC system, as well as a renovation for elevators in Los Angeles metropolitan facilities. Judge Power.
Yes, the committee has and will continue to advocate for increased funding for this critical branch function. In meeting with presiding judges and court executive committees, as well as receiving survey feedback from a significant portion of the courts, we believe that our efforts to secure adequate funding is both recognized and supported by the leadership of the branch. We have worked with the AOC to prepare and submit BCPs to the Department of Finance. Those were submitted in September. If accepted, the dollars captured in these BCPs will assist in bringing our program up to industry standard allocations. While they will not significantly address the backlog of facility modifications, they will allow us to begin to fully restore our facilities. And in closing, I request that the Council adopt the $50 million fiscal year 13-14 budget allocation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge Power and Mr. McGrath. So Justice Hull and then Justice Jacobson.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Judge Power and Mr. McGrath. Forgive me if I'm overlooking this in my materials or if there's an attachment that I should have had that I didn't have, but I don't see anywhere where where there's a description of priority 1 versus 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Where do those break out in your presentation?
If I may, Judge. Priority 1 is essentially an emergency, and the facility modification policy, there is a specific breakdown. But to use it in a more colloquial phrase, a priority 1 is an emergency. The court is immediately impacted. A priority 2 project is something that if we don't address within the next 6 to 9 months, is failure is imminent, and we need to address those. A priority 3 project is a needed project. It's a good business investment. It's something that the court needs to happen either operationally or from a process management standpoint. Priority 4 is hazardous materials, has a code compliance requirement for a fire life safety system. Priority 5 means it's old, but it's working, which the vast majority of our funding is required in the Priority 5 category. And then Priority 6 is materials that, such as lead and asbestos, that are They're okay as long as you don't touch them. You can manage them in place.
So I understand the priorities, especially the 2 through 6, have to do with how severe the problem is, in order 2 being more severe than 3, at least time-wise and otherwise. And do I understand that the $39 million that is proposed here, is it, and I can appreciate how you can't really anticipate the future very well, but is it proposed that, at least to the extent that you can, that the priority 2 projects will be taken care of first, and the 3, and then the 4, and then the 5, and if the 3 and the 4 and the 5, if the earlier priorities exhaust the $39 million, then the rest of them just have to wait, I guess, right?
We're only funding priority 2s and priority 1s with this budget. We're not going into 3s. And, Justice Hull, the description, there's a detailed description of the priority in the trial court facility modifications policy adopted by the council July 27th. So it's in that document, but we're only going to get to 2s this year.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me that. I was a little bit where it said $39 million for priorities 2 through 6. I wasn't quite clear, but I'm clear now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge O'Malley, and then Mary Beth Todd.
Thank you, Chief. Just a couple of questions and then a comment or so. In the $18 million budget change proposal for 13-14, when it was rejected by the Department of Finance, did they have an idea of specifically where that money was going, for what purposes it was going? HVAC, you know, 40-year-old elevators, which, you know, concerns safety of all court users as well as those people working within the building. Did they know where it was that that money was to be spent?
The budget change proposal was submitted with a project list to essentially say, here's our need, here is where the funding is. Would you like to talk to Kurt?
Kurt, I hate to be perfectly blunt, but they didn't get that far. They simply rejected looking at the BCPs. They refused to review them at all based upon what they view as their workload constraints.
So then in the future, since we're, you know, depleting our fund balances and we have no money and we're taking money from court construction, and just they're not even going to look at these things, how do they expect us to fix these serious and dangerous problems to our courthouses?
So that's where we engage the Department of Finance through real estate, facilities, maintenance, and we're having an ongoing dialogue with the Department of Finance on the need for those proposals to be approved.
How's that going?
It's early.
And just a comment, Chief. You know, in looking at these projects that obviously weren't even worthy of having a serious look to see where this money would be spent, having been in a courthouse with broken down air conditioning, how many of us at this council room have been in those? It's unsafe. It's so intolerably hot. And I can imagine Kern County that needs an HVAC system. I mean, how hot, Justice Baxter, might it get around Kern County in the summertime? Pretty hot.
Yeah.
For those of you in the valley, the real valley. So, you know, it's dangerous. And jurors can't focus. They can't listen. It's intolerable. And this prevents people allowing to have their day in court. This prevents access to justice in a humane way, to the point where we can conduct business in a logical manner. And these are, you know, who wants to get in a 40-year-old broken-down elevator? And Judge Elias is gone, but she's told me stories about the elevators in downtown L.A. You know, their squirrels can't run fast enough to get those things up and down the building. They're that old and that malfunctioned and broken down, and it's frightening. And I fear what's going to happen as I see these buildings deteriorate to the point where there's going to be some serious harm here. And they've given us really no avenue to address what I foresee as very serious problems here. $18 million can do a lot of repair to 5 facilities that are going to make life tolerable, which is now intolerable, I would imagine, at certain points of the year. So I just am at a loss. You know, we've come to this where they've taken the money, they've asked us to submit budget change proposals, but yet they don't have the time to look at them for needs as serious as this. It's very disheartening.
Chief.
Mary Beth Todd, okay. Then Judge McCabe.
Thank you. I've got two questions. My first question is kind of piggybacking on the priorities 2 through 6, and I don't know if I didn't pick up on a nuance, but I'm not real clear what's the difference between a planned priority 2 and an unplanned priority 2, and why an unplanned priority 2 would be more of a priority than
unplanned
or a planned.
Planned, in essence, the idea in a normal funding world, at the beginning of the year, you would know where the large bulk of your money is going to go. And just as we have with the capital project, we know where that money is going for the next 50 years because we've been able to plan it. The challenge in our program today is the funding is so limited and we're restricted to dealing with just those unplanned, it's going now, we can't band-aid it anymore type situations that we're really not able to get ahead of the curve and proactively commit to larger projects. The anticipation would be that what you would be bringing as planned work would generally be a priority 3, priority 4, or priority 5 type project that's much more proactive and preventive in nature, and that the priority 2 work is really the stuff that no one had foreseen would degrade quite that quickly. And then in that budget, in a well-run and fully funded program, you would see that has been able to run historically, you would see a larger share going to planned and a lesser share going to unplanned because you're able to get beyond the curve of failure.
Mm-hmm. So to paraphrase, are you saying that really there aren't any planned priority twos? For the most part, if it's priority 2, it's in the urgent and unplanned category.
That's correct.
Okay.
Last year, due to some funding limitations in the prior year, we had facility priority 2 projects that we were not able to fund. So we brought those to the council as planned priority 2s because we ran out of money in fiscal 11-12.
But what I'm trying to make sure is that didn't disqualify them from getting funded this year.
Agreed.
They're still urgent. Okay.
Right. This year we were able to fund all priority 2 work.
Okay, good. The second question I have is, as we're having to go to this run-to-failure model, will that be the same model for new courthouses coming online, or will there be some form of a bifurcated system? I don't have a great solution here. I'm not sure which way you would want to go, but you got an old courthouse and you run it to failure. Okay, it was old anyway, but when we go to the new courthouses, I don't know if you can share any strategies that you're considering with respect to that.
So, Chief Kurt Soderlund. So, among the other budget change proposals that we've submitted, is an attempt to address what had been previously rejected by the Department of Finance is an increase to the infrastructure amount that would support the new buildings coming online. So as the new buildings are coming online, there's much more square footage that has to be taken care of. There's additional staffing costs. Those proposals are part of the package that have been submitted to the Department of Finance. Also, the augmentations that we're talking about is a combination of general fund and from the construction funds, too, and it's an ongoing increase that we're seeking. This is not a one-time increase. Part of this deals with you might recall, the $350 million loan that is supposed to be repaid. In working with Giselle Corey, we've updated our fund condition statements, working up front with the Department of Finance, and that's the long-term plan over the next 15 years to have an augmentation to the base for these types of projects.
Judge McCabe, Commissioner Alexander, Judge So, and David Yamasaki.
Thank you, Chief. Brian McCabe from Merced. Judge Power, good seeing you again.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. We went to a seminar 2 weeks ago in Southern California, had breakfast, chatted. So here we are once again. Thank you for answering the question about planned versus unplanned. You're satisfied with the allocation breakdown here that's going to be sufficient, particularly about unplanned. There's monies out there, and quite frankly, the reports that we've been getting from the various liaisons from the courts, there are probably lots of unplanned out there. And then if it's not sufficient, is the mechanism to come back to the court, to the council to reallocate if you need to?
Well, I think the policy allows us to reallocate presently so that we, this is for planning purposes, and I think it's important to note that we're allocating more to emergency because we're doing more run to failure.
Okay.
I think this is a reasonable allocation. It's one that we have reviewed, and I think is appropriate.
And if I understand you correctly, this is being brought to the council not only for informational purposes, but ratification.
Yes.
You've already done
it
that.
It is an action item, yes.
Okay. Okay. And I would move to adopt the recommendation allocating the $50 million as presented.
Second by Judge So. Thank you. Commissioner Alexander.
I just want to talk about kind of the run to failure kind of idea, and the because one of the ones I noticed on the proposal that didn't get done was the Hayward Courthouse in Alameda County. I happened to sit in a courtroom in the Hayward Courthouse where the hallway that I had to use to get from my chambers to the courtroom kept flooding, and it closed that area twice at least, and then another time that was for several months before it could get repaired. I'm not sure what the costs are because I'm not involved in that part of continuing to repair that same problem over and over again, moving a courtroom to another location so that the hearings could be heard, having the staff have to run around trying to do that. But it seems that compared to $230,000 is we're spending money on top of money on top of money.
Well, so, I'm not sure the courthouse, but some of the Alameda courthouse was due to, I believe, inmates sticking T-shirts into
plumbing,
and that's something that is totally unplanned. Exactly. That's exactly right.
And planned by the judges.
Who's planning to do it?
Okay. So Judge So, beyond your second, did you wish to be heard?
No.
David Yamasaki.
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to thank Judge Power and Pat McGrath for all the support that we have. They've been very responsive to all the courts in addressing a lot of the facility needs that we face. But I also wanted to speak to something that Sue Alexander mentioned, and that is, you know, the reality that we're facing is that many of the things that we are having to deal with are these runs to failure. And has there been an analysis done that could perhaps strengthen our arguments in terms of BCPs of the result of failing to replace something and having to now fix it because it failed? I would suspect it would be a much higher cost to fix it if it weren't, as opposed to maintaining it in some fashion.
I concur with that. That is very much a reality. The ancillary damage to deferred maintenance is huge. We've not done a formal study to look at what are the ancillary damage costs or what are the increased costs. Rather than replacing the single compressor, letting the single compressor fail, run the chiller off of the second compressor, and now when the main compressor goes down, you're on overtime and in emergencies to get that back up so the court can operate the next Monday. You know, those types of evaluations have not been done, partly due to staffing issues, partly due to the funding is the funding. However, I think that's a good point to take back and to take on as an initiative to begin some evaluation.
Kurt has a comment on that.
So what you're talking about really is the cost of deferred maintenance. Mm-hmm. And the standard for that we try to follow that Patrick had mentioned, as well as Judge Power, is the BOMA standards. And that's the national standards. And that's the issue, is that, you know, we're not funded at that level. And it's very much akin to if you don't replace the oil in your car or don't replace the filter, eventually something's going to happen to that engine. And that's very analogous to what's going on right here.
Judge Rosenberg.
Could I just make a brief comment? Thank you, Chief. This work that you do, Judge Power, Mr. McGrath, and the committee, is not sexy. It's a difficult, kind of a slogging job, but boy, is that important for the branch. And, you know, we on the Judicial Council really thank you for your labors.
And Judge Rosenberg, if I can put this in context, I just finished reviewing the fourth quarter's activities for facilities modifications, and there were a total of 167 projects. And if memory serves me correctly, the projects ranged from around from a range of a little bit over $1,000 to $1 million. So there's a wide variety of projects that this money helps support.
Thank you, Justice Miller.
And just lastly, again, from ENP, since this is one of the facilities committees that reports to ENP, we are familiar with the extensive amount of work you do on an ongoing basis. So we also want to thank you and Judge Heiberger and your committee for taking this on. And then I wanted to assure the council that because as you are approving this, a number of these are going to be decisions that are made in the future, that we have set up a process for their committee to report on a regular basis to ENP so that we can continue with that oversight, and then that information is given informationally to the council. So, Judge McCabe, there is a process that makes sure that that's being overseen. Thank you, Chief.
And I want to say that I've only ever heard praise for your committee and the magic that you're able to do with so few resources. And I remember very well what Senator Evans said to us at a council meeting not too long ago, that we don't have the money today to spend a dollar to save five tomorrow.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that that idea and philosophy has softened somewhat as the state's revenue picture has improved. But I know what the mindset is that you face in the capital that we face regularly. So I appreciate all of your efforts and your continuing effort to seek funding for this important work for the court that's really for the public as well.
Thank you.
So we do have a motion on the floor. We've had discussion. All in favor to accept the recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Thank you again. Finally, we conclude today's meeting, as sadly we often do, with a brief remembrance of judicial colleagues that have recently passed. I name them: Justice William Clark, Supreme Court of California; Judge Joseph Martin, Yolo County Municipal Court; Judge Dewey Falcone, Superior Court of Los Angeles County; Judge Mario Barsotti, Alameda County Municipal Court; Judge Richard Tuttle, Superior Court of Sacramento County; Judge Robert London, Superior Court of Los Angeles County; Judge Rosemary Dunbar, Superior Court of Los Angeles County. All were retired from the bench, and we honor them for their service to the courts and to the cause of justice. The next regularly scheduled meeting of Judicial Council is December 12 and 13. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, and safe travels. And Nancy will have an announcement.